Rolene Marks, how are you?
I am so happy to be back chatting to you again, Howard. I'm good, and you?
Very good, thank you. And, of course, on behalf of Chai FM and the morning team, we wish you a long life for your recent loss of your mom here in South Africa. So welcome back, and it is wonderful to be able to speak to you on air again. Rolene.
Thank you, and thank you, everybody, for your messages. Really, it means a lot to my family and I.
It's an absolute pleasure. Rolene, talking about, I wanted to discuss the United Nations with you. There were some incredibly interesting events taking place yesterday. Mahmoud Abbas speaking first. I watched his whole speech, and then Netanyahu taking to the podium sometime later, and his 45 or 40 minute address as well. Incredibly, incredibly powerful. Can you give us a sense of what both of those gentlemen spoke about? And I'd love to hear from our listeners, if they've watched either of those talks, what they thought of them. 34519 or 061-895-1019. Over to you, Rolene.
Well, first of all, it was extraordinary that Prime Minister Netanyahu spoke for over 40 minutes. I think he is the one leader. Not only does he get the absolute prime time slot, it's prime time in Israel as far as television is concerned, but it's also prime slot at the United Nations when he speaks. But I think he even got a longer slot than President Trump, who opened up the speeches. But very controversial was President Mahmoud Abbas's speech. You know, nothing unexpected in terms of his taking jabs at the United States and at Israel. That was to be expected. But what was very interesting was his, you know, he really reserved his anger for Hamas. You know, threatening Hamas, saying that Fatah will withhold the transfer of the $96 million that it sends to the beleaguered strip every month. It also showed the depth of the internecine fighting between the two organizations, Hamas, that governs the Gaza Strip, and Fatah in the West Bank. And, you know, to remind people that within the Gaza Strip, if you are a Fatah supporter, you could face a death sentence. You know, anybody who protests the rule of Hamas, in this case, for the most part, Fatah supporters, are often killed. You know, he also took a stab at them, saying, you know, speaking that there cannot be any kind of ceasefire with Israel unless Fatah is included. And what was very interesting, if we watched the goings on in the Gaza Strip, was that supporters of Hamas took to the streets in protest against Fatah for once, and not Israel or the United States, saying that Abbas does not speak on our behalf. And I think that after Abbas's speech last night at the United Nations, we're going to see further tension between the two organizations. And with regards to the United States and Israel, the disconnect or the tension between Fatah and or the West Bank and the United States and Israel continues to deepen. President Abbas taking shots at the two-state solution as advocated by President Trump, and also saying that the United States has no place being a broker in any kind of peace deal, because they have exhibited such bias, and accusing Israel of becoming a racist state. And what was very, very interesting was looking at Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. Now, how would we all wait every year for this monumentous occasion? We call it the Super Bowl, whether you're on the left or the right. One thing that unites Israelis is Bibi's speech. And, you know, like him or loathe him, that's his real house. You cannot take away from Prime Minister Netanyahu and his incredible ability to speak at the United Nations. And boy, was this a memorable one. I think, you know, last year his tone was conciliatory. You know, he spoke about the fact that a year later, you know, we'll be seeing Israel very much loved at the United Nations, but boy, did he put not just Iran, not just Europe, but the United Nations and Mahmoud Abbas on blast last night. And I'm speaking without taking a breath, but so much was happening. You know, he opened his speech, and to be expected, he used props, and he exposed yet another atomic site in Iran.
He even gave the coordinates. I mean, you could find it on Waze.
Check on Google Maps.
Yeah, you can find it on Waze.
Well, this is why I think we have companies like Waze sold for billions of dollars because of their unbelievable ability not just to direct you in the traffic, but to find Iranian nuclear sites. You know, as he, you know, he used his customary sense of humor, saying that the rug store or the rug repair store is a little bit radioactive. So, you know, if your rug has come back from the cleaners and is glowing in the dark, you know why. You know, he exposed us again and took the opportunity to really sanction Europe and European leaders for pandering to Iran, for not realizing or not acknowledging that this was the largest state sponsor of terror around the world. And
the details he gave there was incredible, how he explained in each country how Iran is funding terror.
Well, it is absolutely unbelievable. You know, he also spoke quite at length of how Iran is present in Lebanon, in Gaza, around Europe, and the threats that this brings to global security. And then he took a stab at the United Nations. You know, he congratulated the extraordinary U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, Nikki Haley, on her work done at the United Nations and the Trump administration for pulling out of agencies that are extremely biased against Israel. And yesterday he declined the invitation to participate in the UNESCO conference on anti-Semitism, saying that the organization had demonstrated such extreme bias against Israel and had denied historical and biblical Jewish ties to the Holy Land. And then he gave Mahmoud Abbas a right royal smack down, and he exposed the hypocrisy of saying that should there be a Palestinian state, Jews would not be allowed to live there, that you could be sentenced to death for selling land to Jews within the West Bank, and of course exposing Mahmoud Abbas's dissertation on Holocaust denial. So everybody who was in Bibi's line of sight last night got a verbal smackdown. He came to take names, and boy did he. And it was I think, Howard, I don't know about you, I don't know about our listeners, it was one of his strongest, most fiercest speeches to date. And I think he defended the right of Israel to have its identity as a nation state of the Jews, a democracy where the rights of minorities are equal and protected, was really, really quite extraordinary.
Yes, I would agree with you. I think it was, and as of late, I've been sensing and I've been feeling that Netanyahu, it's time for him to hand over the reins in Israel. But when I watched him last night at the United Nations, I thought that he was absolutely superb. Of course, as you say, he arrived with his props, and he showed where some of those the nuclear storage warehouses are. He took aim at the nuclear agencies who are meant to be monitoring this, but haven't actually carried out one inspection. I think that was very, very important as well. I think that it was a very, very good, very, very strong speech, and it must have made a lot of people very, very uncomfortable. He did pay an incredible amount of tribute to Nikki Haley and to President Trump, which I think was also very, very, very powerful. Unsigned saying, how full was the UN chamber for Bibi's speech? It actually wasn't so full. Raleen, I don't know what your thoughts were. I thought that it was, the back part of it where guests are allowed was quite full, but I noticed a number of countries weren't weren't present. The other thing, Raleen, that he referred to, but without mentioning names, was his relationship, Israel's relationship with other Arab states, and how strong those relationships have become. And he acknowledged that it was almost a advantage of the poor Iranian deal, because what it had done was it created a very powerful Iran in the area, and that made other Arab states very, very nervous. So the relationship that Israel has with these other Arab states today is much stronger than ever before.
Well, I'm so glad you brought that up, because it really was one of the highlights of the speech, was his acknowledging the growing or the warming of ties between Israel and a large part of the Arab world. But with regards to, you know, how full the hall was, you know, it's always expected that certain delegations will walk out before the Israeli premier takes to the podium. But it was more full than previous years. This I noted. And I noted that the State of Palestine, as they're called, or Palestinian delegation, stayed in throughout Prime Minister Netanyahu's speech. And you could hear the audible gasp when he exposed the other Iranian atomic site. You know, it was new information. But, you know, it's to be expected that there will be certain delegations that walked out. I was very curious, because I want to know if the South African delegation stayed in, but that's just me.
I didn't see them at all. Just want to quickly talk about Abbas's speech in some detail. I found it quite disorganized. I felt that he was almost digressing on a constant basis. It wasn't as professional as I would have imagined it would have been. And the bottom line was, if as far as I could tell, was the victim status reaffirmed over and over and over again, taking zero responsibility for any action on his side, obviously not neglecting the fact that he hasn't had an election in I don't know how long now, but basically, you know, saying recognize us as a Palestinian state. If you don't do that, you obviously hate us. What have you got against us? That really was the theme that I picked up throughout his speech. Am I misinterpreting it, or was there anything more to it?
No, it was absolutely coming from a state of victimhood, but also, in my opinion, a lot of hypocrisy. We have never used violence. I mean, I don't know if he's living in Narnia or on planet Earth. We've never used violence, and in the same breath, paying tribute to the martyrs and the prisoners. Mm-hmm. Well, why do you think they're in prison?
Absolutely, and of course, so knowing how much of their budget actually goes to paying for those for the murder of Israelis, Netanyahu referring to that as well. Of course, the pay to slay. In fact, he says we don't believe in terrorism and violence. But of course, those were his exact words. That's a quote. But I mean, we do know that 7% of the Palestinian the authority budget, that's around $360 million is budgeted to reward Palestinians who murder and maim Israelis. So it's just a little on the hypocrisy side.
I mean, imagine how many schools and hospitals could be built with that. But I digress. And yesterday we saw quite a significant move from the European Union, and that is to withhold also, I think it's about €15 million, because of incitement in textbooks. So I think, President Abbas, the jig is up. Not only is the US withholding their funding, but the European Union is also starting to withhold its funding because of the continued incitement of hatred.
Raleen Marks, that's unfortunately where we love and leave you. It is already 8 o'clock. I don't know how that 15 minutes went as quickly as it did, but we had so much to talk about. Wishing you a Shabbat Shalom, a Chag Sameach.